Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hey, here we go. It's Sunday. Sunday's the best day of the week. Because we all get to be together. Every day's a great day with Jesus, so right? All right, apologize for that mic trouble. Not Mike Prediger, my mic. Oh, it's a great day. Hey, I want to say, what a great church we go to, right? I mean, do we go to like the best church or what? Not that we just go there, we are the best church, amen? Because we are the church. The church isn't this building, we're the church, right? But I'm just so excited to announce to everybody that last week we did our annual pie auction. We do it one time a year, and together as a church, we raised, are you ready for this? $14,000. Holy cow! It never ceases to amaze me and astound me of the generosity of our church. And what, you know, when you tell other, like, you know, Angel and I, we always brag. He goes to camp, and I brag to all my other pastor friends that I have the best church, and they don't. But when I tell them what we do with our pie auction, they're always like, oh, well, you probably have a bunch of rich people in your church, right? And I'm just like, not yet. Not yet. We're going that direction, amen, because we're givers. But they think like one person gives like $10,000 or something. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. I said the way that it is, and this is the beauty and just how it makes it even more amazing, it's everybody does what everybody can. It's people doing $25. The most expensive thing that sold last Sunday was the parking space. Right? That's always a biggie. And it went for $2,400. That was the most expensive thing. How many know $14,000 minus $24 is still a whole lot of money? And the great thing is 90% of the money is already in. Everybody's paid. And so all the kids are going to camp. Glory! All the leaders are going to camp. Hallelujah. Plus, we got leftover. Amen. I think this is actually the very first year that we've ever had extra. Very first year we've ever had extra. And so all the money that was raised is going to, the youth need some things. All the youth say amen. They need some things back in their room back there. They need some cool stuff. They need, they break stuff. All right. I love them, but they break stuff. But that's okay. They're supposed to. They're teenagers, right? You know, there's a lot going on back there. And so there's a couple thousand dollars left over. So we're just going to purchase some stuff that we've been needing in the youth room for them. And so, isn't that exciting? It is truly more than enough. So amazing. And so when people are talking about how great their church is, you can be like, well, let me tell you about my church, all right? My church raised $14,000 in one day, and it was just amazing. And I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Doug, because he did a great job, didn't he? He did a great job. He had everybody laughing, sometimes unintentionally, but still. But no, we had a great time, and he just kept everything going. We were out of here on time. It was really like the perfect pie auction. And so look at your neighbor and say, good job. Good job. Did anybody else have a sugar hangover on Monday? Anyone else? But it was for a good cause. As I was eating my, eclair? As I was eating my eclair, I was like, it's for a good cause. It's for a good cause. I'm doing it for you, Jesus. I'm just kidding. Don't write me a letter. PastorAngel@bvcstaff.com. All right, here we go. Who's ready to talk about some giants? All right. We're going to knock them down. Now, we've talked, I think it was the last week or the week before, we talked about the giant butt. Don't look around. The giant butt. And that is when God tells, like, hey, when we say God meets your needs, you can say, yeah, but God's made you to be an overcomer. Yeah, but it's that but that gets in the way. And so we talked about that the week before last. And today I want to talk about really one of the biggest giants that really affects all of us. So don't think it's just you. It affects all of us. And that is, you guys ready? The giant of insecurity. Now, some people, like, especially you manly men in here, you're like, oh, that's not me. Really, it's all of us. Everybody deals with it at one level or another. And so, you know, don't let pride get in the way of receiving what God has for you. Because really, all of us, don't think you're less than because you deal with it. Every single human being on the planet deals with it. And so we have to really look at it and say, you know what, I'm gonna look at this and say, Lord, how does this apply to me? Because you're already here, right? You're already here. Most of you are awake. Praise the Lord. You know, you're already here. You might as well get the word. You might as well get what God has for you. Let it sink deep down into your heart and change some things. Bring healing. Bring restoration. Bring wisdom so that we can be stronger and better tomorrow. Doesn't that sound like a plan? And that's what the word of God does. You know what I do? I pray for you all week long. And this is what I pray. I pray that the soil of your heart will be ready to receive the word. That it will be soft and churned up so that when the seed of the word is dropped into it, the soil just grabs it. Yeah. It just grabs it. And it's a place where the word of God can grow in your life. Because if it just bounces off, you're going to walk out of here the same. You're going to walk out the same. So I pray for you all week long, and we pray for you here in the services. We pray that the soil of your heart will be soft and ready for the word, so it will just grab the seed of the word, and it will begin to produce in your life. Doesn't that sound good? I don't know about you, but I want the word of God to produce in me. I want the fruit that's coming out of me. I want what's coming out of me to represent Jesus. I want it to be the word of God, right? I'm tired of the old me. Are you tired of the old you? The only way to get rid of the old you is to let the word of God start producing the new you. Amen? And the only way that's going to happen is if you let it get in you. And so let's focus this morning. And let's say, Lord, this word is going to change me. It's going to equip me. It's going to strengthen me. It's going to heal me, because that's what the word does. Amen? And so we're talking about insecurity, and we're just going to get this. We're going to get it today. My prayer is that everybody gets it. But you know, the Bible is full of people that were insecure. I love the Word of God, and I love the people that God chooses, because they make me feel better about myself. Amen? You ever, like, you're with somebody, and you're like, oh man, I'm really having some troubles, and then they start talking about their trouble, and you're like, I feel so much better about myself now, right? You know, I may be here, but I'm glad I'm not there. And, you know, the Word of God is like that, too, because you can look at people and you can be like, well, you know what? If God used him, he can still use me. Amen? He had some issues. I got issues. God used him. God has still used me. But, you know, we know Moses. When all these people, I'm going to tell you some people, when all of them, when God told them to do something, gave them some instructions, they all had something to say. Just like you and I do. Moses said, I can't do it. He said, I can't speak. He had a speech impediment. He stuttered. He said, I can't do it. I can't even talk to people. And God equipped him anyway. Jeremiah said he was too young. God still used him. Abraham said he was too old. God still used him. Rahab was a prostitute. Right? So if the enemy's trying to tell you, oh, you did this or you did that, listen, God uses people with a checkered past. So we're all good, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're still in. You're still in. You're still in. Gideon, he was so afraid when God spoke to him, an angel of the Lord himself came to Gideon. And you know what Gideon said? He said, I am from the least family. My family is the least of the tribe, and the tribe I'm in is the least of all the others. And in my family, I'm the least. He said, my people are the least, my family's the least, and in my family, I'm the least. How many know this guy had some issues, right? But God still used him. God showed him, no, you're not. And David, think about David. David had all kind of issues. He had an affair. Then he had the husband of the woman who he had an affair with, had him killed. And it was his friend. And that was after, listen to this, that was after the husband, when he came home from battle, he didn't even go home to be with his wife. Listen to this. He slept outside David's door. He slept outside his door because he was so loyal to the king. And David, I mean, seriously, he had him killed because he wanted Bathsheba for himself. That's a soap opera right there, right? And then Paul, you know what Paul said? He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm the least of all the saints. He felt like he was less than the disciples that walked with Jesus on the earth. And it always bothered him. But yet, look at what God did with Paul. It's Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It's Paul that brought the gospel it's Paul. You know, when you think about Ephesians and Colossians, I mean, it's Paul that taught the in Christ realities. The one who thought that he wasn't as good as all the rest. And so when you deal with this kind of stuff, you're in good company. And know that everybody deals with it. But here's the thing. The most powerful weapon the enemy has is to try to disqualify us from competing. Because the Bible says that we're running a race. That our life is a race. And the Bible says, run the race to win. And so the enemy is always trying to disqualify you because he knows that if you run, doesn't matter how slow you run, doesn't matter how fast you run, doesn't matter if you're the slowest person, doesn't matter if you struggle with your run, maybe you got a funny run, doesn't matter. Because if you run, you win. You win. It doesn't matter if you've got battle wounds. It doesn't matter if people are saying you're going to lose, blah, blah, blah. None of that matters. All that matters is you keep running. But the enemy's always saying, oh, you need to sit down. You need to sit down. You're too old to run. You're too young to run. You don't know enough to run. That's a big one. You don't know enough to run. You can't run for Jesus. You don't know enough about Jesus. You can't run for the Lord. You don't even know the books of the Bible. Join the crowd. More than half the people in here don't know the books of the Bible. If we had a contest, who would win? Really? Be serious. Probably somebody who went to Bible camp their whole life, right? You? Vilia. Vilia would. If I'm under extreme pressure and I got a day to prepare, I can do it. You know, I can name them all. I can do it because I went to Bible camp when I was a kid. But the thing is, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's great to know those things. But what matters, the enemy's always saying, you don't know enough. You're too young. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough education. You got too much of a past. You did this. You did that. Your parents are crazy. You're this. You're that. He's always trying to say, sit down. Don't run. Because he knows that's the only way he can beat you. That's the only way he can beat you, because we already have God's promise that we win. When you skip to the end of the book, we win. The only way you don't win is if you don't run, if you quit. And that's why the enemy's always whispering, you're not good enough. You're not this enough. You're too much of this. You're too little of this. You're this. You're this. He's always. Why? Because he's trying to disqualify you. He doesn't have to defeat you because he can't. He can't. He just needs to convince us we're not qualified to compete in the race. But you are qualified. So I'm divorced. Read the Bible. Amen. I'm this. Read the Bible. I guarantee there's somebody there God used that's got what you got going on. Because God uses imperfect people. And so when it comes to insecurity, there's reasons why it comes. It's the definition for insecurity is this: to lack confidence or assurance, self-doubt, uncertainty or anxiety about oneself. So it's to lack confidence or assurance, self-doubt, uncertainty or anxiety about oneself. And so some causes of insecurity, of lack of feeling secure, feelings of inferiority, people who seem smarter, wealthier, nicer looking, more successful, low self-esteem. We question our own abilities. We question the potential outcome of things. We're always like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We question if our past has disqualified us. The blood of Jesus assures you that your past does not disqualify you. Amen. Amen. It assures you. It assures you. The blood of Jesus qualifies us all. Colossians says that it is He who qualifies us to be partakers. Amen? God qualifies us. You can't qualify yourself. Only God can qualify you. But aren't you glad that He does? You know, a sense of being unaccepted. You know, everywhere you go, you don't think anybody's going to like you. You don't feel like you're good enough to be there. How many times have we invited somebody to church and there's something inside of them that keeps them from coming? It's fear of being exposed from their past, their sin. It's a feeling of unworthiness. It's a feeling of being judged. All those things. What the bottom line is, they don't feel like they're welcomed. And those are lies from the enemy, right? You know, body image and appearance. You know, there's some people that are, you know, we want to lose it. And then there's other people, they want to gain it, right? You know, we need to hook up. I'll transfer to you. You're trying to gain it. Come down. If I could transfer to you, right? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? You know, and then it's always something, especially in the culture that we live in. If you remember the very first week, we showed the video of the model, that she really doesn't look like that. It's the airbrushing and the makeup and the hair and all that stuff. She's not real. She isn't real. You know, it's like ladies with their hair. You know, if you got curly hair, what do you want? If you got straight hair, what do you want? Isn't that always the case? But let's all be thankful. Dave's over there. Let's be thankful we got hair. Amen. Let's be thankful. You do bald well, though. You got the right head for it. You do it well. But the thing is, let's be thankful we got hair. But, you know, I'm like that, you know. I mean, I got kind of curly hair. And so every day it's like, with that blow dryer, man, just straightening it out. And people say, why don't you leave it curly? I'm like, because it doesn't curl like I want it to curl, you know. And so then people are like, oh, they have straight hair. Say, oh, I wish I had curly hair. People have curly hair. Oh, I wish I had straight hair. We're always like, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. But you know what? If you remember, the thing about it is that there's always going to be something. If I were to ask everybody in here, write down all the things, or think about, write down all the things you don't like about yourself. Just think about it. The things you don't like about yourself, things you change. Just think about it for a minute. Your brain's like, chick, chick, chick. You know, you can think of a few things, right, probably? But now, think about what you're great at. Think about what you're great at, what you just excel at, what people look up to you for. How many know the first one was easier? It's easier to find things we don't like about ourselves, things we want to change about ourselves. But you know what? We need to flip that. We need to make it easier to say, you know what? There's a lot of good stuff about me. I may have some issues, but there's a lot of good stuff about me. God is using me. Let's stop focusing on the things that maybe we're not A pluses at, because we all have them. And let's focus on what God has put in us and made us excellent. Amen? Because I don't care who you are You are excellent at something. Amen. If you can't think of anything, you are excellent at being a child of God. You are excellent at being forgiven. You are excellent as being the one that God chose. Amen. Start there. And we'll grow from there. We'll grow from there. But when it comes to insecurity, we've got to get past that saying that we're not worthy. We've got to get past the failures that we've had. We've got to get past things that we don't feel like we're fitting in. We got to get past all that, because if we do not live for Jesus and his approval, we will live for people and theirs. And man, when you try to please people, that is a losing battle. That's a losing battle. And so talking about insecurity, it's that self-doubt. It's that lack of assurance. It's uncertainty. It's anxiety about yourself. And two cousins go real close with it. Because whenever there's insecurity, these two are always right there with it. Discouragement and depression. They're like, oh, insecurity's there. And they got to get there, because they go hand in hand. Whenever there's insecurity, there's what's going to follow, what's going to go right with it, is depression and discouragement. We're insecure about our abilities, our future, our self, our relationships, our walk with God, and it causes us to be depressed, and it causes us to be discouraged about stuff. And so we just want to look today, and we're going to look at some areas of insecurity, and what we're going to learn today is the antidote. How many want the antidote for insecurity? I'll tell you, I got it. One of the areas that we're insecure is our self-image. This is a big one. We have got to see ourselves through God's eyes. That's the only way you're going to get out of that. But that feeling of, you know, always looking in like, oh, this isn't enough. This is wrong. This. You know, we are unlimited because God is. Amen? We're unlimited. We are pure and holy and righteous, and we are clean because of Jesus, not because of us. We see our perfections, but God sees us perfect in Christ. Aren't you glad about that? Oh, man. We see our flaws, but you know what? God sees our potential. All we see is what we can't do. And what God sees is everything we can do. Amen? We need to be looking into the mirror of God's word and quit looking in just into a natural mirror. Because the mirror of God's word, it's going to show you who you really are. It's going to go past that reflection in the mirror. Over in Psalms 139, we're going to look at verses 13 and 18. This is one of my favorite verses. I used to deal with insecurity a lot when I was younger, and I am so thankful that God got this truth into me. Amen? In Psalms 139, verse 13 and 18, it says this: "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Verse number 14, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." This scripture has been, since I got born again, came back to the Lord when I was in my early 20s, this scripture has been a life force for me. You know, everybody has a scripture that just speaks to them. This is mine. Because I had a lot of insecurity, I didn't feel qualified, didn't feel able, didn't feel accepted, felt like everybody was better than I was, that everybody just had it together, and I was the only one that didn't have it together. How many know that's not true? How many know somebody doesn't have it together, right? But I just, you know, the enemy just, He just beat on me so bad about stuff. And I got a hold of the scripture. And I tell you, it changed my life. I began to meditate. You say, how does the scripture change your life? You begin to make it what you think about. When thoughts of insecurity and thoughts of not being able and thoughts of inferiority would come and thoughts of not being enough and all that kind of stuff, I would just think on this scripture and say, no, this is truth. The word of God, I would say this to myself, the word of God is more true than any feeling that I have. The word of God is more true than anything anybody is saying. God's word is more true than the opinion of people. God's word is more true than the opinion of myself. God's word is more true than anything. I would speak that, and then I would speak the word. And it didn't happen overnight, but over time, I began to get more confident, more bold. I began to look and see abilities that God had placed in me that I didn't recognize were there. Because for me, I felt like I could do anything in the marketplace, in like the jobs that I had. For some reason, the enemy never bothered me there. Well, we know why. But as soon as I would step into the church, I would immediately feel worthless. I could run an entire department on my job, but as soon as I checked into the church and they'd say, hey, do you want to volunteer? I'd be like, no, I don't know what to do. I'm not even able. I'm not even qualified. No, no, ask somebody else. Not me, not me, not me. And so they wouldn't ask me anymore. But the enemy was constantly telling me, you can't do anything at church. That's not your place. You don't even really belong there. They barely let you in. You're just squeaking in as it is. Don't push the envelope. The enemy would always tell me if they find out, you're out. If they find out, you're out. And so I couldn't serve in the church. But it didn't bother me at work. At work, I was a superstar. But that's not where I belonged. That's not the call God had on my life. A lot of times what the enemy fights you for the hardest is exactly where you belong. Amen. It's exactly where you go. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. He's trying to move you out of the plan of God for your life. But I began to meditate on this, and I began to meditate, and I would say, Lord, I thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I began to walk around saying, I'm wonderful. People would say, how are you? I'd say, I'm wonderful. And in my mind, I would say, I'm wonderfully made. I'm wonderfully made. I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I just began to speak it over myself. And I began to speak, I had such a feeling of guilt and shame. Such feelings of guilt and shame because of things I had done. Decisions that I had made, which were life-lasting. And I began to meditate on the thing, God, you think about me. You care about me. You think about me more times in one day than can be numbered. That's how much you think about me. God's thoughts are towards you. You are not an afterthought. You are not a mistake. You are not somebody he's putting up with. God's thoughts are towards you. Amen. God thinks about you as an individual. He thinks about me. He thinks about Angel. He thinks about Sabine. He thinks about Nora. He thinks about Scott. He thinks about you as an individual more times than the sands on the beach. Yeah. Isn't that incredible? And what is God thinking? He's thinking that he made you, that he created you, that you are wonderful, that you are forgiven, that he has a plan for your life, that he himself knit you together while you were in your mother's womb. Man, people may have messed you up. Your parents may have messed you up. Your parents may have left you. You may have been abandoned. You may not know who your mother is. It doesn't matter. God himself knit you together. Yes. Amen. You don't need that. Amen. You got God. Amen. Don't let what happens in life change what God has done for you. He knits you together. I don't know if you've ever knit anything. You know, I've tried. My mom was a real crafter, you know. She could make anything, and she was always trying to teach me how to do stuff, and I just had no patience for it. But she tried to teach me how to crochet, which is kind of like knitting. And she could make these beautiful things. I mean, she made baby clothes. She made all kind of beautiful things, but each little tiny thing is planned. Every hook is planned. It's not half anything. You don't just wing it. You have to count and you have to plan every single stitch for it to turn out right. And God knit you together. Isn't that good? Man, you get a realization of that? You know, the more of a realization of that I have, the more bold and more confident I am in what God's called me to do. Listen, I remember, you know, it was just this Friday that it was 13 years that Pastor Mark has gone on to be with Jesus. And it seems like in some ways it seems like it was so long ago. And in other ways it seems like it was yesterday. But I remember in those early years of stepping into the role of senior pastor, I remember standing behind that door and the enemy telling me every reason why I was not the one. It was a list. All true. All true statements. I was there. I know they're true. And I would just stand there and say, but God has knit me together. He has placed me here. He has made me. He has redeemed me. And every day of my life, he has seen and prepared me for. And then I would bust out that door. Amen? Be like, I am here. But I tell you, it's a battle. It was a battle. And every time I won it, it got easier. And now, I don't even think about it. I just bust out the door. You got to bust out your door. Because the enemy's always going to have a reason to tell you you're not the one. You're not the one. You're not the one. But you got to go back here. And I love where it says in verse number 16, it says, your eyes saw my unformed body. Listen to this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. A friend of mine who's a good friend, she said something one time. She said, God saw this day. God saw this day. God saw this heartache. God saw this trap. God saw the enemy's lies. God saw what you got to push through. God saw it, but he equipped you. Amen? God didn't leave you without what you need. God saw what you're going through today. God saw it, and he put in you what you need. But you got to push through and you got to meditate and you got to say, I believe the word. Amen? The word is at work in me. Over in 1 Peter 2:9, it says this. It says, but you are a chosen group of people. Isn't that good? But you are a chosen group of people. How many ever played sports in school? I was never really great at sports. I know that may come as a shock because I look so athletic. But I was never really that great at sports. And so whenever they would pick teams, I would be like, not the last, but pretty darn close. Pretty close to the last, you know? So then I'm a born manager, you know? Like, I kind of see things. I'm like, I can make that work better, right? That's just me. And so as a young person, I learned, you know what? If I'm the team captain, I get to pick. So whenever they would say, who wants to be the team captain? Usually the people that are really good at it would raise their hand and be like, oh. But I was like, they're like, do you know how to play? No, but I can manage. I can pick well. I can pick well. And so I learned that like in about third grade. So whenever they'd say, who wants to be? Me. And then I would bench myself. I'd be like, all right, team, you got this? You got this. Let's do it. But, you know, a lot of times not being picked, it causes you to change. See, I didn't get picked, so it caused me to change. And a lot of people are going through life thinking you didn't get picked. You're thinking, I didn't get picked, so I can't participate. I didn't get picked, so I can't be part of this group because I didn't get picked. The Bible says you are chosen. You are a chosen group of people. You're God's first pick. All he has is first picks. And he's God, so he can do that. All he has is first picks. And so quit going through life like you didn't get picked. Because how many remember it was painful not to get picked, wasn't it? It's painful. Everybody's going and you're like, pick me, pick me, pick me. Nobody picks you. But the thing is, God already picked you. He says, but you are a chosen group of people. You are the king's religious leaders. You are a holy nation. You belong to God. He has done this for you so you can tell others how God has called you out of darkness into his great light. Verse number 10 says, at one time, you were a people of no use. All right, that's the truth. We all got to face it. We all got to pass. Now you are the people of God. At one time, you did not know loving kindness. Now you have God's loving kindness. Wasn't that good? Let me read it to you out of the Message Bible. It says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made in you. Isn't that good? The night and day difference he made in you. Listen to this. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. Woo! That's good. That is so good. If your mom rejected you, you're accepted. If a man rejected you, you're accepted. If people rejected you, you're accepted. And you're accepted by the one who matters most. And that's God. We can stop trying to get people to like us and trying to fit in and trying to do this. Man, when you know that you're accepted by God, you're not going to try to fit in. When people are saying jokes that are not for you, you're going to be like, hold up, you're going to say that? Say it somewhere else. How many of us at one time, when we were trying to fit in, went along with things that we did not want to do, did not want to be part of, were not part of our character, but we went along with it because we wanted to be accepted by people? Man, when you know that you are accepted by God, that people can reject you, but God has accepted you, that maybe you used to be nothing, but now you're something. The opinion of people, it doesn't matter as much anymore. And the more we grow in that area, the less it matters. The less it matters. I tell you, when I first became a senior pastor, and if somebody came in and they would, you know, like people talk, you know, after church, like if a visitor came in and they'd be like, oh, I say, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. And they'd be like, you know, women are supposed to be silent in the church. And I'd be like, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. You know, and so I would just, at first it would really, really bother me. I mean, it'd just be like, oh man, you know, they don't know. They don't understand the word. They need to be taught. You know, they're thinking I'm not following the word of God. It would just, you know, it would just bother me. I'd like stay awake at night about it. You know what I say? I got over that quick. I had to. Now I say this. Listen, you don't like me? You don't think I'm qualified? You don't think I'm a daughter that's able to prophesy like the word of God says? You don't think I'm a leader in the body of Christ because of a scripture you don't understand? I got a church for you. Because people say, I like you, but I can't do a woman pastor. I can't. You know what I tell them? Listen, you like me? You'll love my brother. Go see him. If he meets your gender requirements, go see him. I don't argue about it. I will talk to people if they want to talk. I will teach you if you want to learn. But if you got to, but people used to, they'd have an attitude. And I'd go home, I'd talk to this guy, I'd be like, oh, you know? And the enemy would say, what are you doing? What are you doing? And finally, I just had to be like, I am called for this. You can reject me, but God has accepted me. And that's what matters more than anything else. More than anything else. Man, if you could teach your children, if we could make a decision to do one thing in life, let it be this: to live a life that is pleasing to God. Nothing else matters. You make that your life mission, it will make every decision for you. Amen? Every decision for you. But we got to get this verse into us where he says, we have been nothing. He changed us to something, from rejected to accepted. Amen? God has made a night and day difference in me. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful. You know, when I look back on the past, I think, man, God, you have done a work. You have done a mighty work, and you're still working. Amen? God is still at work. He is at work in us. And so we can't let that self-image problem keep us from doing what God's called us to do. Listen, if you're bigger, be bigger. Amen? If you're tiny, be tiny. It, whatever you are, be it. Just be it. Own it. Doesn't mean that we don't try to get better. We don't try to be, that's what I'm talking about. But don't let that stop you from being and doing. God saw this day. He knew what you'd look like, and he still called you. Amen. God saw this day. He knew if you were, that he knows I'm female. He made me. Amen. It's not a shock to God. He's not like, oops, I thought you were Michael. No. That's my brother. It's not a shock. You're not a shock to God. Your limits and your mistakes and who you are and what you look like and where you're from are not a shock to God. He knows. And you're still here. Amen. We gotta own what God has done in us. Yeah, I did used to be nothing, but God made me something. Yeah, I did. I was rejected pretty bad, but God accepted me. Amen. Yeah, I didn't used to get picked, but then the one picked me. And then it doesn't matter who else picks. Amen. When he picks you, who cares who else picks you, right? So we got to get that. We got to get that. The next area that we're insecure in is our abilities. Everybody, you know, people are like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. We view our problems according to God's ability, not our own. Amen? You got God's ability in you. You're not in this on your own. Thank God, right? Man, I thank God every day that I don't have to be in it on my own. I can't do it on my own. There's decisions I have to make that are too big for me. There's stuff I need to know that I don't know. But I know the one who does. Amen. I know the one who does. We see our inability, but God sees our ability. God sees our ability. Another area, just got to move a little quick here. Another area that we get so freaked out about, we're insecure about, and this is especially women. One of the five basic needs of a woman is security. That's just how we're made. Doesn't make us weaker. God made us a certain way. We need security. And we're either going to get it ourselves, or we're going to make sure. That's why a lot of times think, well, why is she with him? He brings her security. Why does she put up with that? He brings her security. A woman will put up with abuse, will put up with no love, will put up with all kind of stuff so that her kids are secure. Isn't that the truth? But here's the bigger truth, ladies. You can get that security from God, who will never abuse you, will never cheat on you, will never treat your kids bad. God will do for you what a man can aspire to do for you, but only God can do for you. You don't have to put up with that because you need security. You need to get it from the right place. Amen? I can't tell you how many times I have looked in the eyes of a woman and said, man, you need to get out of there. I can't. Who's going to pay my bills? Who's going to pay my rent? Who's going to do this? God will do it. You get God where you put God where he needs to be, and he'll take care of everything. But security, the future, we need to, you know, we may not know what the future holds, especially in the times we're living in. How many know the times are crazy? I mean, our government is just going through crazy. Things are happening. We're just like, how is this happening? Right? Am I the only one thinking that? How is this happening? And it's shaking foundations on both sides. It's not a Democrat or a Republican thing. It's a government thing. And it's shaking foundations. We're like, man, what's going to happen? We may not know what the future holds, but listen to me. We've all heard this, but let's make it a truth that we own. We know who holds the future. You may not know what phone call you're going to get, but you know the one that holds you. You know, I have on my phone, I have a very eclectic list of songs on my phone. And there's one song, it's an oldie but a goodie. And when it comes on, it sounds so different from everything else. And the other day, we were in the car, some girlfriends and I, and I had my phone hooked up, and all of a sudden this song came on, and they looked at me like, that song's like 1,000 years old, Peggy. That's what they said. They go, that song's like 1,000 years old. I was like, but it is truth. I don't care how old it is. I don't care. It doesn't even sound that great. But I love the words. I love the words. I love the words. It says, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because he lives. Amen? I don't know. There's a lot of crazy going on. But you can face it. And I can face it because he lives. Amen? Because he lives. And he's made a promise to you. And he's made a promise to me that he's going to watch over me. He's going to keep me safe. He's going to empower me. He has empowered me. Amen? And so, you know what? Some stuff may be shaking. Some things may be rumbling. Some things in your personal life may be a little like this. Whatever, you know, your job, whatever. Put God where he goes. He goes first. The Bible says, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so it's seek God's way of doing things. Quit doing it your way, do it God's way. And he'll hold your future. Amen? He'll hold it so you don't have to fear about it. That is, so many people are trapped because of fear and insecurity of your future. Listen, God's got your future. God's got it. Just let it, put him in front and let him lead. And he will lead you through whatever's coming. Whatever's coming. You got God's promise on it. We're insecure about our past. Listen, we could all get up here and share the microphone and say, all right, who's got the best past, right? Who's got the best, most juiciest, crazy, wow, I can't believe it. Who's got that past? Everybody's like, oh, it's me, right? First, that's not a competition you want to win, right? That's not a competition you want to win, but we've got some contenders in here. We got some contenders, myself included. But here's the thing, when God looks at you, he's like, as far as I know, they've been perfect. Isn't that good? Because God says that he chooses. It's not that he can't remember your past. He chooses not to. God can do anything. But he chooses not to remember. And so when we look at ourselves, we can look at it and all we see is our past. You got to get over that. You got to get past that. You got to cut the anchor of your past and say, keep sailing, baby. I'm going this way. Amen? When people come, I remember when I first started, like, really, God was changing me. People would come and they'd be like, oh, do you remember? I'd look at them and go, no. Oh, do you remember? You said, no. And they'd be like, Peggy, you were there. You were there. I'm like, I choose not to remember because it is no longer who I am. Amen. And that's intense. That's intense. When people that you've partied with and you've hung with, and then you're seeing them at work, and they're like, hey, let's go. And I'll be like, no, I don't want to do that. Oh, we had so much fun, though. I don't remember. And then, you know, they'd be like, you're so weird. You are so weird. You are a Jesus freak. I'd be like, that's right. That's right. But I'm changed. That is no longer who I am. It is no longer part of me. You want to stay in that? That's your choice. But I choose to move on. And it only took about 5 or 6 times to do that before people stopped coming to me. Did I lose friends? Yes. If you're serious with Jesus, you will lose friends. It's going to happen. But it's your choice. You either stay in the pit and keep entertaining people, because that's why they want you to stay there. They want you to stay there because it makes them feel better about being there. And when you start climbing out of the pit, when Jesus reaches down and pulls you out, and they look around, it makes them see what's really around them. And all they're going to do is try to pull you back in. It's only going to take a few times of saying, no, I don't remember. That's not part of me. I choose to forget that. Some people will climb out with you, and some people will stay. But we don't live for their approval. We don't live for their acceptance. I do not want to fit in with that. And now I don't. And I'm so thankful. Amen? I am so thankful I don't fit in anymore. Oh, thank God. I want to fit in here. Amen? Not there. So we got to let go of our past. We got to let go. And so here's the antidote. You guys ready? You kind of got it a little bit. The antidote for all insecurity. You ready? All of it. Insecurity is a dependence on ourself. Security, that's when we are confident in who we are. We are confident in the abilities that God has placed in us. We are confident that we are overcomers and our past is the past. That security only comes from one place, and that's God. Only one place. Security comes from a dependence on God. And so the antidote that we need for the insecurity is a confidence with God. We need to be confident that His word is true. We need to be confident that He really does forgive us. We need to be confident that He really has chosen us. Yes. How does that come? Security comes from a confidence in our relationship with God. You know, when I was a kid and just closing up, I'm very blessed. I grew up with a great dad, and I know everybody's not like that. And if you're not like that, be thankful that you got God, the Heavenly Father, who'll make up for any mistake your father made. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, but we all know that there's a lot of people that have been goofed up by their parents. And if you're sitting here saying, that's me, then let God ungoof you. Amen? He will. But I grew up with a very strong, amazing dad. My dad's still alive. He's going to be 85 this year. He's amazing. He was always there. He was always in my life. And I grew up with such a confidence in him and his word that I've told this story before, but as a young kid, the enemy came to me and told me I was going to die. And you know, looking back, it was a vision I had, and I'm not weird or crazy, but it happened. Where just, you know, the enemy came, was like, you're going to die. I just had this fixation on death. And so I would ask my dad, I would say to him before I would go to bed, I was like 9, 10 years old, I would say, Dad, I'll see you in the morning. And my dad would say, I'll see you in the morning. And I would go to bed, and when the enemy would come and say, no, you're not going to see him in the morning, you're going to die, I knew as a child, I had childlike faith. I said, if my dad said he would see me in the morning, then I will see him in the morning. And for like a whole year, every night I'd be like, Dad, I didn't tell him because, you know, you're embarrassed about that kind of stuff and your kids, you don't know how to handle. I'd be like, Dad, I'll see you in the morning. And he'd be like, all right, baby, I'll see you in the morning. And then that confidence in him made me secure. His word secured me and made that fear have no power. So whenever the enemy would come and be like, nope, my dad said he'd see me in the morning. I'm going to see him in the morning, and it'd be gone. It's confidence in God. How does that come? Just like I had that confidence in my natural dad, it came from a relationship. You're never going to have the cure, the antidote for insecurity until you have a strong relationship with God. And that only comes with time. You got to put the time in. Everybody wants a shortcut. You want hands laid on you. Be fixed. It doesn't work like that. That helps, but it doesn't replace relationship. You know how I got this word in me so strong? I meditated on it, just like the Bible said, day and night. I wrote it out on cards, and I put them in my car, and I put them at work. And when I would feel insecure, I'd pull it out, and I would read it. And I would say, Lord, this word is true. This word is true. It's more true than how I feel. It's more true than what people are saying. It's more true than the failure that I just had. It's more true than the rejection that I just had. It's more true. And I just did it and did it and did it and did it, and change began to happen on the inside of me. And I am a night and day from what I used to be. God changed me. Everybody's God's favorite. God will do it for you too. That relationship. Isaiah says, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, listen to this next word, security, triumph over opposition, is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This security belongs to you. Amen. It belongs to you because you belong to God. Quit letting insecurity rob you of stepping out, of fulfilling the plan of God. God knows what you look like. God knows what you deal with. God knows where you're weak, and God knows where you're strong, and he still said, go. Let's go in his power. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every person in this room today that deals with insecurity. And Lord, I know that's all of us. That Lord, that this word, the soil of our heart will grab the seed of this word. And it will grow on the inside of us. And that from this day forward, we will be secure in you. Secure in you. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. To recognize insecurity for what it is fear. Help us to recognize it and help us to walk in the cure for it. And that is a relationship with you. Father, I pray that each one of us will grab this word and it will produce in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here today and you say, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Listen, you're never going to overcome anything until you start there. You're never going to have peace about anything until you start with Jesus. And so if you're here today with every head bowed, you say, I want to start with Jesus. I need to give my heart to Jesus. Let today be the day that you do. Raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. Today's my start day. Today's the day I bust through the door and say, Jesus, you are my Savior. Anybody in the room like that? I think we're all headed in that direction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Father, I pray for all of us here today that today is a day of a brand new way of thinking. We are chosen. We've been picked by the King. Oh, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen. All right, hey, we got to get a move on because somebody went over. let's receive our offering. Let's get ready.